Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day, uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing, all you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
You guys, something miraculous happened last night that I must share with you first thing this morning.
You sound very excited.
Very excited. And there's a reason. I slept through the night.
Congratulations.
Do you guys sleep through the night without waking up at all?
Okay, so you slept through the night?
Yes.
I had one of the worst nights of sleep last night. So maybe somebody on the show has to suffer in order for somebody else to thrive.
I would like to say I would give my sleep. I would take my sleep and give it to you if I could.
No, no, no.
But it would be a damn lie.
I know it would be. Yeah.
It's so rare for me to be woken up by the alarm.
Yeah.
And I went to sleep last night at the proper time and woke up and didn't wake up in the middle of the night, and I was shocked by the alarm. Do you guys get up like that, or normally do you sleep through the night?
I wake up before the alarm, and I never sleep through the night.
Yeah, a couple of times you wake up?
Usually at least once. Yeah. Sometimes twice, but at least once.
It's so weird. I will wake up like 10 minutes before my alarm. I don't know if my internal body clock is just better than my alarm, but it's always like 5 minutes before. Oh, like,
that's infuriating.
I want 5 more minutes.
Yeah, it feels like 5 hours when that happens.
I always sleep through the night. No issue. It's always like, go to bed, wake up when the alarm goes off. I don't know what happened last night, but I was up every hour.
Really?
And tossing and turning.
So I'm wondering, because I've just been now dabbling in intermittent fasting, and they say that one of the benefits is better sleep. Now, I don't know if this is in my head or not, because I've only been doing it for like 4 days. But after 4 days, this is the first time in a long time that I can remember that I actually was woken up by the alarm. So maybe it's working.
So what time did you eat dinner? 3 p.m.?
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Was my last meal yesterday. Yeah, but it's doable, right?
Yeah.
All right, Romy, you had a homework assignment yesterday. Take your shot. A former high school teacher. Most in here said, yeah, I don't know if it's going to work, but at least you should go for it. So how'd it go yesterday, man?
Yeah, you know, like that little, it was 3 of you guys, I believe, that said no. So that no was lingering with me for like the entire morning. And I was like, maybe this is not that best of an idea. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Is this weird? Is this awkward? And then I was like, like exactly what you said. Like, what do I have to lose?
Right.
Like, there's nothing. If I'm just going to pop the question, put my phone down,
uh-huh,
and freak out for a bit, and then just let it be. See what happens.
And I feel like this, again, is part of your overarching like strategy lately is like going towards fear and not being scared by it. And time again, week after week and month after month, you've been doing this and you're still alive.
Yeah.
So I feel like this was kind of just another assignment in that whole chapter.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely think it falls into what I call exposure therapy, where I like to expose myself to these situations that have always kind of gave me some sort of fear or social anxiety. And so like it was just kind of like when we went and you gave me the homework assignment of asking girls out and I was supposed to get a no from them. Over time, it just becomes easier. And that's when I realized all you got to do is really do the thing and they become easier over time.
And congratulations on getting all those no's.
No, wait. No, I got.
Mission accomplished.
Wait, no. I got a couple yes. All right. And so I hit her up and I just basically straight up said, hey, like, this is going to be completely out of left field, but would you like to get drinks and dinner with me?
Straight to the point.
And when is the last time that you spoke with her?
It's been a few, I would say years.
Okay. Since she gave you like
in
a C?
No. Since we checked
what
in with each other.
What grade did you get in that class? Because we didn't cover that.
Probably like a B. Okay. It was English. Not my strongest suit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. ChatGPT wasn't around back then either, so I couldn't use it. I hit her up and then I put my phone down and I was panicking, freaking out, but I was just like, I'm just going to wait. I can't, like, let's not overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear my phone vibrate. I get a text and it's just a little response with the ha-ha.
Oh, no.
And then you see the bubbles pop up.
Uh-huh.
So you're texting.
Yeah, so she's texting.
So this is next level now.
Yeah. So then I'm like, I'm starting to see the bubbles just...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm freaking out. And it's probably like a good 15 seconds, but in my mind, it's like a good 30 minutes right now happening in my life. And I'm starting to freak out. And I'm like, oh my God, what does this ha-ha mean? And then she was like, heard the show this morning.
Oh. Hey. Not so ha-ha for you. Yeah. Ha-ha for her.
Yeah, nah. That's not it.
Oh, that's a good... Hi. Thanks for listening.
Didn't know you were here.
You're a great teacher.
And that's what I said. I was like, you're a teacher. You're not supposed to be in school. Why are you listening to the show?
Well, I don't know if you know this. We have a podcast now, Romeo, and you can listen any time of the day you want to.
Yeah. That is a curse on my behalf.
Yeah, it's a problem sometimes. So at least now it's all out there. She knew exactly what was going on, as she does right now. So what was her response after that?
She basically said that she had to think about it because she wasn't sure if she wanted her business on the radio. And I did my little riz. I convinced her. I was just like, hey, like, you know, if it goes good, if it goes bad, I'm not going to say your name. We're not going to talk about it. And if you don't give me permission, we're just going to drop it. We can go on this date. It's going to, because I like to believe that I think I'm like the type of situation where, like, it's like that type of party where you don't want to go, but then you do go and you have like the best night and it's like the best party you've ever been to. I feel like that's how I am.
You're the party.
Yeah.
So she's going to come to the party. And
she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Like, most girls don't want to, but once they're there, it's like, oh my God, what a night. You know?
I'm with you. I laughed at Kristen laughing at you.
She's a hater. It's fine. It's fine.
I've never heard that analogy, and I'm into it. So.
It's Fiesta de Romeo. Okay.
You know? So I basically was just like, hey, we should do it. She said she was going to be in town this weekend. She wanted to postpone it for next weekend, but I was just like, if I give her too much time to think about it, she gonna overthink it. So I said Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Does that work? And she said yes. So we're gonna meet up tomorrow.
Bam! All right. I'm shocked.
You got the hard sell, man.
Nice.
Me too.
Really?
I was just straight up going for it. Like, it was no hesitation. I was like, if she said no, I was gonna be in the same situation I was in the morning I woke up.
That's true.
That's it. He's there.
He's there. You're getting it.
So
you probably should stop talking about it on radio.
Yeah. Let's end it right now. Yeah. Assignment over. Who cares about the actual date? If that's what she's nervous about, we promise right now to only ask you about it like 5 or 6 more times.
or on the bonus.
Or the bonus.
Nah, we won't talk about it again, but assignment done, dude.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Yeah. Major win.
Got a date tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Fiesta Romeo.
The Burt Show.
All right, so it was a couple of days ago, and we really do need to swing back on this one because the stakes were high. She found out through a DNA test that her dad isn't her biological father. So she was going to tell him. She didn't know if he knew, if they were keeping it a secret from her. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so our listener got a little curious about her family history, decided to do an ancestry DNA test, and none of the results matched with any of the relatives on her dad's side. So again, her dad, it's very clear that her dad is not her biological father. Her mom passed years ago, so she can't go to mom about it and be like, hey, what actually happened the night 9 months before my birth? And so she's not even sure if her dad's aware of this, but she obviously wants to talk to him about it to get more clarity on it. So she came to us being like, how do I approach this? I don't want to bring up any hurt. If he doesn't know about it, it's going to be a huge shock. So what do I do?
We really should later on in the show circle back to this too, because I think when you do these DNA tests, you hear so many stories that are positive, like, oh, I didn't even know I had a brother, and we reunited after 20 years, and now I have a new family member, and I'm so excited about it. But a lot of times, it goes sideways. There's a really good chance he had no idea, zero idea. And that changes everything, right?
And the scenario you just used, I just found out I had a brother. Well, I mean, that could be one of multiple scenarios, like either, you know, your dad cheated on your mom, or your mom cheated on your dad, or maybe it happened before you, but it's complicated.
Yeah, in some cases, I think not knowing is better than knowing.
That's why I don't do it.
Right, a lot of times. All right, so Mo's got the email update.
First of all, I want to thank you all for the genuine advice you offered. After spending several days thinking about my own feelings as well as my dad's potential feelings, I've decided not to tell my dad about the ancestry results. Processing this information has been a roller coaster ride for me. It's brought up a lot of emotions, questions, and honestly, been more painful than I anticipated. But throughout all of this, one thing has remained constant. My love for the man who raised me. He is my dad, no matter what the DNA may say. So, his DNA test changes nothing. He has been there for every significant moment of my life. Has shown me nothing but love. And he is my dad, in every way that truly matters. I've realized that whether he knows about my biological father or not, doesn't change the fact that he is my dad. If he doesn't already know, I've decided that I don't want to inflict this pain on him. If he does know and has chosen not to tell me, then I respect his decision. I don't want this to be a factor that changes our relationship. Therefore, I decided to delete my ancestry DNA results. I know the truth now, and that's enough for me. I won't let it affect my relationship with my dad. As for the advice about trying to figure out who my biological father may be, I don't think I'm interested in doing that. Maybe I'll change my mind in the future. Maybe not. I already have a dad. He's the only dad I've ever known and the only dad I will ever need. I don't see that changing. Again, thank you all for your advice and helping me work through these feelings.
This is a really healthy way to look at it. I would tell you right now that the curiosity would absolutely kill me. I would not be able to keep this a secret.
You think?
I think on paper, I'd probably initially think the same way she is. Like, let's, you know what? Everything's so good right now. Do I really need the answers to this? And then I think it would just start to eat at me before I followed the truth.
Like every time you saw him?
Maybe.
Every time you talked to him?
Would you be capable of that?
No. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it and having a quote unquote stepdad who I don't consider a stepdad at all. If it works for me because I know who my father is.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't know, it wouldn't change anything. Or like she said about how I feel about my dad. But I would just want to know, man, like, what does my father look like? Where does he come from? I would have some questions. I would have to find out.
For me, I would want to know, not even to, like, tell my dad and be like, hey, did you know what mom did, like, you know, 25 years ago? For me, it would be more about understanding more about who I am. Because if there are things about my personalities or things about my potential health that I wouldn't have known if I didn't know who my biological father was, like, to me, that's the information that I would just want for myself. So I would not be able to not know.
I think for me, the bigger question might be, do I want to inflict this potential pain on the person that has no idea that they are not my father? Like, I would want to know for me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, if this dude really doesn't have any idea, I don't know that almost seems heavier to me than me knowing.
So you would be able to get that information and have it and then never bring it up to your stepdad at all? Like, you would be able to hold that?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think I could do that either.
Really? Oh. That would be easier for me. For
that
me
would
to
be
know
easier
the truth.
For me too.
For me to know the truth. And if we found out that he wasn't my real father and he didn't know, keeping that a secret wouldn't be a problem.
And maybe he does know, but I would be able to sit on it.
Now, I would probably want to know why he didn't tell me.
Now, if you found out that he was your biological father, well, then I guess there's really nothing to tell at all.
There's not a story.
Right, there's not a story at all there.
Just keep it moving.
So, yeah.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The royals just added a new baby to the line of succession. So Princess Eugenie and her husband Jack welcomed the baby into the world this week. This is their second child together. And I always love seeing what they're going to name their kids because they're never just like John or David. It's like very regal, very archaic. And so they had a little baby boy that they named Ernest George Ronnie Brooksbank.
Wow.
Very nice long name. He's got four of them. Okay. So three first and middle names. And then the last name, Brooksbank, which is her husband's name.
Yeah, there's never like a Prince Bob.
Yeah.
Chuck. Sammy.
Joe.
None of them.
Archie was already a little bit of a shock. I remember when Prince Harry and Meghan came out with the name, I was like, Archie. Like, that's a little bit of a shock. That's not something you hear from a royal every now and then.
I'm guessing all of these names have some kind of history behind them, and that's why they decided, you know what, let's not eliminate any one of them.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah.
So according to Eugenie's personal Instagram, he's named after his great-great-great-grandfather George and his grandpa George and her grandpa Ronald. So a lot of men in the family he's named after, which
but
is really
Ernest
sweet.
Is just like...
Yeah, what an interesting name to choose. She didn't explain Ernest from what I saw in the reports. I think they were just like, Ernest.
And this is Fergie's right? daughter, right?
Yes. Yeah. So Fergie's now grandson.
Yeah.
So Ernest is the latest to get added to the royal line of babies. Yeah. Welcome to the fam.
And at the end of the day, that's really an Ernie. So he's Prince Ernie.
He's Prince Ernie.
Sound very real.
I don't think he gets the prince title.
No?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. He is 13th in line to the throne. He just bumped Prince Andrew down. Prince Edward down to number 14.
But,
uh-huh.
It's like NFL standing.
Yeah, a lot of work to do.
Did you qualify for the wild card?
No.
I do kind of wonder if, so like Prince Edward got bumped down, but that is actually Queen Elizabeth's son, right? Because it's all about the order of the child under the queen, and then their children are next. So I wonder if the royal family, every time like so a grandbaby or another baby is born, they're happy, but they're also like, dang it, that's one more in the way.
Do you think at some point, you know, when he's old enough to be at like a pub, he's going to use that as his pickup line? Like, hey, just want to let you know I'm 14th in line right now for the throne.
I don't think he's going to have to ever use a pickup line. Considering his like family background. I mean, but there are so many royals now and they all have interesting names too, like Zara, Eugenie, Beatrice, like they're all sort of like not common names, I would say. So he is going to be very well known. His family's got famous celebrities in it. He is never going to have to use a pickup line in his life.
There's royal chasers. Like people who want to be in the royal family and want to be a part of that life.
Sure.
So there's royal groupies.
Much better name than groupie.
Royal chasers.
That's way better.
Yeah, there's royal chasers.
Yeah, the ladies are going to be like, oh my God, Ernie's in the bar.
Can you at least use it in like his Tinder profile and stuff? Like I'm 14th in line.
He won't need one. And his brother's name is Augie, by the way. So it's Augie and Ernie, which is kind of super cute. I love it.
It sounds like a new show on Disney Plus.
It sounds like the two new Muppets.
Oh, yeah. Ernie.
Oh, they added the crew, like, yeah, some crew to Sesame Street.
Okay, Prince Harry didn't show up for his own court date. So Prince Harry's in the middle of a trial against the UK's Daily Mirror, which, fun fact, this makes him the first royal in over 100 years to testify in court, which is pretty crazy. He was set to take the stand on Monday, but he was actually in the States celebrating his daughter's birthday on Sunday. So his lawyer told the judge in what might be the worst quote I've ever seen on a professional news source. According to the New York Post, his lawyer said, his travel arrangements are such and his security arrangements are such that it is a little bit tricky. And that's why he couldn't show up in court. And the judge is like, okay, but I told him to be there. So show up. Show up, my guy.
Does he fly commercially or does he? He does?
Mm-hmm.
So you see him right there on 30B, like in the exit row.
I don't think he's going to be back in 30.
He's in 30.
Maybe he's business class.
B. Yeah.
But it's actually
comfort plus at worst.
You put him in the middle to win B.
I want him on that emergency tour, man. He's pretty buff.
Actually, kind of a rule of thumb, all of the royals, unless they're traveling on official royal business, if it's for personal, they fund their own tickets and they fly coach.
Is that right? Wow. So he's flying coach.
Yeah. Wow.
So he's just like the rest of us going, hey, can I have some more of those cookies, those Biscoff cookies?
Yeah. Well, we say that, but then again, like, it's not like I'm watching all of his private flights that he's chartered. He might be flying privately sometimes, but that would come out of pocket.
Yeah, and there's other members that have been spotted on planes because otherwise they get blasted for abusing the coffers and, like, it costs the country money.
Including William and Kate. As well.
It was kind of a bogus excuse anyway, because he said that he couldn't make it because he was celebrating his 2-year-old's birthday, I think.
Yeah.
You can move that birthday at 2 years
old. Or bring her to the UK. Like, your 2-year-old can come with you. He's in the middle of, like, 6 lawsuits right now, so I'm sure they're just all getting scrambled. Taylor Swift and Matty Healy, have they split up? Some sources say yes, some say no. I'll tell you more on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Going around the room here, would you guys consider a lap dance cheating? So Kristen, for instance, Bart goes to a bachelor party and gets a lap dance, asking the same question for all you guys, comes home, tells you about it. Is that cheating?
No.
All right, Cassie, ready to bounce.
I'm trying to think it through because it wouldn't bother me if I knew he was going to the bachelor party and if he came home and told me about it, like I would not be bothered. But if he did not tell me, then I would be bothered, and then I would be like, it feels like cheating. I don't think I'd call it cheating, but it feels like a form of, like, I distrust you now because you kept something from me.
This is one of those issues, I think, and then I want to get Abby and Mo's take on it also, where I don't think a guy would even report that because it just seems like so...
I wouldn't expect it to be reported.
Mm-mm. Okay, so here's the difference is if Chad went to strip clubs a lot, like, and I knew he went to strip clubs, then I wouldn't feel the need to be reported. But because he doesn't do that, if it happened, I'd be like, why didn't you tell me? Because I really wouldn't care. And I don't care about the dance. I care about the fact that you kept something from me. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you're keeping something from me in a bad way.
I've got a good reason why I'm asking you guys, Mo.
I feel like this one is relative to the relationship. Like, if you can go do it and you come home and tell your partner don't care, then I don't think it's cheating. But I do think there are some people who wouldn't like it. And if you know that your partner wouldn't want you to do it and you do it anyway and you wouldn't tell them, then I think it is.
Oh, yeah. If my boyfriend's doing this, I'm throwing hands. This would make me so mad. Yeah, there's no situation where I would be comfortable with this.
No kidding. Tommy. Yeah.
Is it cheating if the stripper kisses you?
Yes.
Because that may or may not have happened.
What?
With you?
Huh?
Uh-huh. When?
Wait, what?
Is this at Claremont Lounge?
No, no. Oh, God, no.
That's not considered.
No, it's
cheating.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened. Somebody had dropped a dollar on the floor, and I was the gentleman, and I picked it up, the dollar, and I said, hey, I think this is yours, and she kissed me.
On the cheek or on the lips?
Lips.
Ooh.
Oh, but that wasn't, no, because...
I told Renee about it, though.
Okay, yeah, it needs to be reported.
I think it was before we got married.
Did you tell her as your future wife, or was it while you were confessing your sins to your pastor?
Future wife.
The reason why I'm asking here is I'm reading this survey, and it said 70% of Americans cheated on their partners during bachelor and bachelorette parties. 70%. 7 in 10, you go to a bachelor or bachelorette party, you are screwing around.
People have very broad definitions of cheating.
And it says 33.1% said that included lap dances.
Well, then I cheated on my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Save that!
My husband and his bachelor party got a lap dance. I would not consider that cheating.
Right. That's what I was thinking. That's why the statistic didn't make any sense to me at all.
He knew we were going to Vegas. He knew we were going to the opening of the Magic Mike show. He had to have known a lap dance was going to be involved.
Right, it is assumed.
I think that's just kind of common sense.
Right. All right. So sticking with infidelity here, I know that there are a lot of people that once they get caught having an affair say, oh, God, it was a mistake. I'm so sorry. And I always consider it, a mistake, but also a series of bad choices. And in this email that we got, she is... already made some bad choices. She just hasn't made the major one yet. And I think she's looking for some hardcore advice.
Hey, Bert Show. I could really use your help. I've been working out with a personal trainer for 6 months now, and I have just started to see physical changes and am feeling better about my body and confidence, mostly thanks to him. You go, girl. Recently, I just started seeing my trainer in a different light. I want to jump his bones.
Well, we went there.
I have read all kinds of articles about people falling for their personal trainers and why it happens. Endorphins are released during workouts. I equate my success to him. He's encouraging. All of those are part of the job and make him a good trainer. I'm sure that's how everyone feels about their trainers, so I know that doesn't mean he feels the same way about me. He's also hot. He's never made me feel like he was interested in anything more than a professional relationship. This is all me. The problem is, I'm married.
Yeah, that is a bit of a speed bump.
That's a little bit.
That'll get in the way.
That's not a bump. That's a ledge we just drove off of.
I've been married to my husband for almost 20 years. We started dating really young, and we have not been happy for a while. I'm sure that's also part of why I have these feelings for my trainer. I know the right thing to do, but I can't stop thinking about him. He is consuming my thoughts. How do I move forward? Do I get a new trainer that's female, move to a new gym, wait for these feelings to pass? Please help. Love you guys.
All this makes so much sense. I mean, you've been married to the same dude for 20 years, for sure. Okay, so now you got some young dude, and he's looking all ripped. He looks like he should be naked on Bridgerton. And he's stretching you all out, and he's got his hands on you, but in a completely legal and consentful way. And he's making you feel great about yourself. So you have all these feelings. It makes a whole bunch of sense. But for somebody that is married 20 years, I think you know the answer here, man. You just got to leave that gym. You can't even pretend. You can't be in the same space as this dude. That's the good choice.
That's the only choice.
Yeah.
And I think she knows that. That's why she said, I know the right thing to do. But I think she wants to do the wrong thing anyway. But, I mean, you can't stop her. But obviously, you know that, yes, you do need to move to a new gym and let those feelings pass.
Look, when you took those vows, you made a decision. You want to stay here, but the longer you stay, the more you're going to start falling for the imaginary character you've made up in your head of what your trainer is, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like people fall for people. They're like, oh, you do these things, and then you ascribe all these other traits that you're missing in your marriage, and you fall in love with this imaginary person. You are going to ruin your marriage. You need to stand true to your vows, even if things aren't good with your husband. and walk away.
Truth.
The other thing is it's not even reciprocated. So it's like, even if you do stick around at this gym, the only thing that you're going to experience is unrequited love. And that's already heartbreaking enough, other than the fact that you've got to now also work through this marriage that you're clearly unhappy in. So I think the best thing for you to do is to get out of Dodge, find a different trainer, and move on.
It's not fair to the trainer, because now he's going to be, you know,
he'll be fine.
Losing up. I'm sure he'll find somebody.
One of my best friends is a trainer, and the way that he used to stretch his women clients was very different than the way he stretched me after I worked out. That's all I'm saying. I also think there's a second level to this. I do think in a case like this, I think being totally honest with your husband gets you guys on the right path. I think you literally say to him, look, I've been having these feelings. I've been having these thoughts. Nothing has happened, but I just feel like we're at a place in our relationship that I actually entertain this thought for the first time in 20 years. As a husband, that would make get me real focused.
Is that a difference between men and women? Because if my husband told me that, I would be, even if I knew things were bad in our marriage, I would be so crushed. It would push me in the other direction. Yeah. I'd be like, I don't think we can come back.
Really? Because to go ahead.
I would feel the way.
You would feel which way?
If I were the husband and a woman came to me and had all of these thoughts and feelings for another man, that would make me feel the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the fact that you said that I even had to entertain these thoughts shows that you do feel kind of guilty about it. So while my ego would absolutely be crushed, at the very least, if you're telling me that, I know that you at least feel bad about it, which is a little bit of a consolation.
Hey, Bart, if there's a hottie at Planet Fitness, I don't want to know about it.
Well, I work out there and that's an oxymoron.
The Burt Show.
All right, our intern Mikey here, man, found himself in a very awkward situation with an ex at a pool party. This is beautiful.
Yeah, well, I happen to have found myself in another quandary over the weekend.
Not a quandary.
Yeah, I found myself in a quandary.
Okay.
It wasn't your ex. It was your...
It was not my ex. It was my lady's ex. Mm-hmm. So, me and the old lady, we go to Milledgeville over the weekend.
Oh, Milledgeville. That's all. Milledgeville's a good time, by the way.
Bragger.
Oh, you're telling me.
You stay at the hedonism there?
Oh, yeah. Went to the mental asylum. So we go to the pool. You guys know the pool. Just about the nearest thing to heaven here on earth. It's a beautiful time always.
I said heard of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get your drinks, whatever. You get your pot if you're Abby. You have a good time. You're sitting there by the pool. We're at the pool. We're with her roommate as well.
Now, is this a hotel pool or is this a resort pool?
This is an apartment pool, but it's like a real nice one, like a little compound surrounded by stuff. They got volleyball. They got it all. So we're sitting there having a good time. Then something bad happens. The two girls, my lady and her roommate, start doing the little squirm thing.
The squirm thing?
The squirm.
Like they're uncomfortable, familiar. Like something's making them uncomfortable.
Whenever the squirm happens, I'm about to find something out that I don't want to know. Okay. You know the squirm. Their tone goes up like to an octave that I can't even imagine. And they just do these weird little like body flailing things.
So you can feel the tension.
Yeah. You sense the squirm when it goes off. And so she decides to tell me, I point up at these two guys dancing and she says, that's my ex-boyfriend. Now I've heard tales of this fella.
This is your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
That's correct.
Got it.
So I've heard some tales. I don't want to know a lot. I don't need to know nothing. Leave me out of it. Act like it never happened. But I'm seeing this guy dancing over there. Immediately, I want to just be filled with jealousy and like feel threatened and everything. I got to watching this guy. I said, this guy's a cornball. There's absolutely nothing to be jealous of. This guy's a complete cornball.
Did you start to disrespect your current girlfriend for even dating a guy like that?
That thought
That's
popped
why you don't
in
know.
The old cabeza. I was like, oh no. Is her judgment awful? Is that me now? Is that me, this guy dancing?
Now you should have said, oh, my God.
I did. I said
you did. You upgraded with me in a huge way.
Well, then I started questioning myself. I said, uh-oh, this guy dancing over there, he's, I don't know.
Maybe it's me.
Is that her type? yeah, so he's dancing, you know, getting after it. And it's the worst kind. First of all, he has the speaker just blasting, which, like, you're at a public pool. Everyone has their own speaker. They're trying to listen to their own music. Yeah. This guy is, he thinks he's the DJ for the whole party. And that's just, like, so obnoxious. But the worst part is that he's dancing like he's, like, the center of attention. Like, he's really performing this song on stage. And that's what hurt the most.
Do you think it's like, I've been watching a lot of like Planet Earth and lately, and those male birds that dance for the attention of the female birds? Yes.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Do you think he spotted her and he's like just getting his mating dance on for her?
He was peacocking.
Yeah. Absolutely. But he was, it gets worse. He started playing these subliminal songs. So he played... The one that we caught on to was I Just Killed My Ex. Who's that one by?
SZA.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I Just Killed My Ex.
So he's subtly.
He's going hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just.
Subtle, dude. That's like a death threat.
I know. It started getting sketchy. But I don't know. He was playing songs about guns and exes mostly. So, but then the unexpected happens. Apparently, this fellow is a SoundCloud rapper.
No.
I knew none of this. I didn't want to know any of this. I just found myself in this spot of knowing.
Mo, you want to explain what a Please. SoundCloud rapper is?
Typically, it's an aspiring artist who more than likely is not very good and won't go far in the business.
I think he hit the nail on the head. It was awful, but here's the problem. It was a song that he had written for her while they were together about a fantasy breakup or something. It was like, oh, it was terrible. You should have heard the words. What was the one line? There was one just terrible, like, when you left, my fire turned to ice or something like that. So that's just painful to hear. But here's the thing, is that this was like a pivotal moment because whenever they said, like, oh, this song he wrote for me, there was two possible things. Number one, the song's terrible, whatever, and he's probably a crazy person for playing that at a public pool. Or number two, the song rips, and he's about to steal my lady. Now, I ended up winning this tug of war because there was another line that said, I can't play the victim, I'm the perpetrator. What are you writing, poetry?
So you're not feeling disrespected at this moment, even though her ex is playing the song he wrote for her.
No, I really didn't. I thought I'd care a lot more than I did. It was all fun and games. That's hilarious.
I thought you were going to say, like, his music was how much he loved her and was playing that, knowing you were around the party.
Yeah, well, it was like a fantasy breakup song, which why do you even write that in the first place? It was a bizarre experience. I don't know. This fella's off his rocker, I think.
Don't disrespect his art.
Oh, no. He's a real artist. True artist, this guy.
Trash.
The true artists live on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Quote unquote, Jason and I have been on 3 dates so far, and I've been having a pretty decent time with him. I mean, that's where the litmus test is right now. That's your cut line. Pretty decent.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll do.
He's decent.
The bar is in hell.
He's genuinely nice, funny, and we seem to have a lot in common, but there's a situation that happened recently, and I immediately thought of your ditch or date segment. On our third date, we ended up stuck in traffic in maybe about 15 minutes or so. Typical city life predicament. Nothing out of the ordinary, right? Well, here's where it takes a turn. He actually ended up peeing his pants right there in the car. I know, sounds bizarre, but he laughed it off as if it were a normal thing and just kind of happens sometimes. In fact, he admitted that it's not the first time that it's happened before. I guess it's a good thing he has leather seats.
That's disgusting.
I was totally grossed out. I mean, he's 32 years old, she says. Is this normal? No. Am I overreacting? No. He's a great guy otherwise, but this is just weird. I just don't know what to make of it. Should I bring it up and discuss it with him, or should I just chalk this up to a deal breaker and move on? Thanks for your input, Christina.
I feel bad for him.
He needs one of those diapers at 32.
No. So in college, my roommate dated a guy who had a urinary issue. Mm. She had just bought a brand new mattress. like literally the day before, and this dude came over and spent the night in Peter bed.
And it wasn't because he was drinking too much that night.
Apparently this was known that this was an issue that he had, whatever. So, and, you know, he ended up forking over, like, money for the mattress, et cetera.
That's a lot of money.
I know.
Mattresses are expensive.
Super expensive. So I have that memory in my head, and I remember that happening. And we all felt, like, so bad for him because he was so embarrassed. And so I honestly feel like I wouldn't ditch. I wouldn't. Like, what?
Just clear you out, that's all?
Yeah.
I think you're very kind.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
I mean, this would be a good time for him to say, look, I just want to let you know that this is a problem that I have physically here. That's much easier to digest than him not explaining it all, saying, hey, just help us from time to time.
Yeah, that's the problem for me.
Do you get rid of your dog if it tinkles in the house? No.
Well, my dog's gone.
I wasn't just analogy.
That was really... Well, then we're just on opposite sides of the spectrum.
But I mean, now's the time to tell her, like, this is a thing.
That would have been the perfect time. I think if he would have handled it like that, I would have a little bit of grace for him. Like, that's, you know, this is a situation I can't really control. But to just kind of... For this to be normal, or for you to, like, present it as if it's normal... I would completely understand if she ditches him, and I don't even think she has to tell him about it.
Yeah, for this man to spontaneously pee himself, like, let's say this happens, like, once a week. Let's just say it's once a week.
That's
you better be, I know, you better be having more than just a pretty decent time with him. It doesn't really seem like Christina's that sold on him. Like, for me to deal with a man peeing himself, like, once a week, like, I better be in love. I better be blinded by love.
What's that car smell like?
I know, that's, I'm like, but I also have to think, like, I, on occasion, tinkle myself. So maybe that's where my soft spot is for him. Not like a full-fledged, like, but if I sneeze too hard, if I cough too hard.
Talk, walk, stuff like that.
I can't, I, Abby.
But is that like a little,
cause it's, see, a squirt. I'm, it's just a.
Yeah, see, I'm picturing this man like in a puddle.
Yeah.
I feel like a little squirt's kind of cute. Like, like,
save.
You like a little drizzle, just not the rainstorm?
Yeah.
All right. I was not expecting that. Was this always a thing with you, or is this post-baby?
No. Because remember, I didn't have my baby vaginally, and normally that's what happens. I mean, granted, there could have been pressure, you know, on my bladder. I would... It's sad I don't know how the inner workings of my own body work, but no, I mean... I've been doing this ever since I was a kid. I just have.
Are there exercises and stuff that you should be able to?
I'm sure there are, but I'm too lazy to do them. I'd rather just pee myself.
You started talking about it, and I literally just realized I'm Kegeling.
I felt like I was doing the same thing.
Like, strengthen those muscles.
But like, as a kid, like, I can't jump on trampolines.
Oh.
I know. It's sad. I can't jump on trampolines.
You missed out on so much joy as a child.
So much. So much joy.
Cassidy, you ditch or date?
I think you date. I'm going to go ahead and assume if this is a real problem, he normally wears a diaper, but he thought he was getting some, so he didn't. So if you wear a diaper.
Man, would that be awful.
You're handling your business.
Can you imagine?
He's wearing Depends.
I say date, don't knock. You can get diaper rash with Depends, though. Like, trust me, from a grown woman post-baby, it happened. All right, if he pees himself again, you ditch. I say you date him for now.
You guys are assuming, like, this is a physical problem. Like, he hasn't said that.
What crap? Man pees himself in a car with it's not a physical issue.
This guy.
That is not real.
Hey, The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
It was the headline heard around Swift Talk. Taylor Swift and Maddie Healy have split.
I was going to ask how you celebrated. Just like that. An angel choir descended from heaven, coming to bless all of the members of the Swiftie fandom.
Abby, lead Swiftie. Do we have any proof that they were actually going out?
So they were extremely, extremely public, and obviously all of this was very much just speculation. We had reports from sites like Dumois. We had reports from all the entertainment sites. He was at the concert. I mean, I literally saw him when I was in Nashville for the Eras tour. So there was no, like, official confirmation from either of them that they were an item.
Was there ever a picture of the two of them together walking down the streets of Nashville, for instance, holding hands, or New York City or anything?
Yes. There were multiple photos of them coming out, which is one of the reasons why Swifties were sort of upset about this, because we all let out like a collective sigh because there was so much bad news about Maddie in the press, specifically having to do with him being on a podcast where other hosts on the podcast made racist comments about an artist called Ice Spice, and Maddie just kind of went along with it. And so Taylor's a real person, so there was a side of the Swiftie fandom where we were like, we don't want to hold her accountable for like things that this guy is saying. But then there was the other side that was like, well, you're being so public about your relationship to him that it just was very off-putting.
Was that an old picture or a new picture that surfaced of him kissing somebody at his concert recently?
Yes, he did kiss a guy at a concert over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But that's like, Maddie's also just kind of like, on top of the other problematic things that have come out, he's also just kind of a troll where he kisses fans, he does weird things, he has this ongoing bit.
Just wants the attention more than anything else.
He's just kind of it's a mixture of things. He's a Nepo baby, so I think he just kind of grew up not really being told things that aren't funny to the rest of the world, you know?
Who's his parents?
I know they're famous.
Okay.
I do not know them. They are famous to an older generation, but I do know that he comes from
an older generation.
Yeah,
so.
That's older than you.
I think his mom is somebody called Denise Welch.
Yeah. I don't know these people.
Yeah. But I know he comes from wealth and fame. But anyway, the fandom was really relieved to see this, specifically me. And then I get on Dumois. And there are all these reports coming out from, like, I guess, inside sources that say that, well, there couldn't have been a breakup because they were only ever just friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, sure, maybe they're just not hanging out, but, like, it's not over. Mm-hmm. So it continues, I think.
How do we show that there is a breakup, quote unquote?
That's the thing is, they're saying, well, all these reports are coming out on, like, Entertainment Tonight from, like, sources and, you know, these insiders. And then Dumois is more of, like, the underground gossip sites where it's like, well, I actually know them. And I know, like, a friend of a friend of a friend or whatever. So it's just like a bad rash that keeps coming back, essentially. But in happier Taylor Swift news, she did drop her track list for Speak Now Taylor's version. Some of her vault tracks are going to feature songs from artists like Paramore's Hayley Williams and Fall Out Boy, which when you think about Taylor Swift, you don't necessarily think, oh, yes, a Fall Out Boy collab works perfectly. But she said that Speak Now, since it's the one album that she wrote entirely by herself, she wanted to feature artists that she really respects their lyricism. So I guess Paramore, Fall Out Boy were really early influences for her. The new album features 22 songs, which is 8 more than the original. And it comes out on July 7th. Had to double check. Nicki Minaj is also coming out with new music this fall. I was so excited to see on Twitter that she teased the fact that she's coming out with new music on October 20th, 2023. All she did was say something real simple. She said, 10, 20, 2023, the album. Disc emoji, bow emoji. This is going to be her first studio album in 5 years, but we've already got new music from her, like her Princess Diana remix with Ice Spice, and she's got a feature on the new Barbie soundtrack.
Well, let me ask you this question. Nicki Minaj, I think, really kind of started a genre. It almost feels like a genre of rap music.
When she went pop?
Yeah, kind of when she went pop.
Uh-huh.
And she's been copied so often. I almost feel like, God, I almost hate to say this, but it feels Cardi B, I think. People were, for a while, they were saying, oh, man, you just sound like Nicki Minaj. And now Ice Spice, people are going, oh, you guys just sound like Nicki Minaj. Has there been so many, quote unquote, like copies that Nicki Minaj's music now is watered down because there are so many Nicki Minajs?
I don't think it's fully that. I think that's a part of it. Like, I mean, they also said that Nicki copied like Lil Kim's and the woman that came before her. I just think Nicki was so big as a woman that's an artist for so long that once like you started to see so many more women start to rap, that was the only person you can really compare them to. So they all tried to say that they took Nicki's style, but I think that's also why Nicki doesn't like any of them.
All right. Is that almost an offensive stereotype that you're a black woman rapping, so you must sound like another black woman?
It feels like it to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In a recent interview, Drew Barrymore says she wishes her mom was gone. Does she regret it? More on your next Eva's on The Burt Show.
Hey,
The Bird Show.
You're a dude in your mid-20s, and Abby is here to represent women in their mid-20s to tell you guys you're doing all of it wrong.
I speak for women everywhere.
Everywhere.
I'm the spokeswoman, and I'm here doing the Lord's work, trying to call out the men. Because one of the few consolations in this life as a single woman alone in this world is free male attention. And when you don't get it, it's quite the bummer. It is a tasty little morsel for your ego when you're out and about and you're beating your face and contoured your cheeks to the gods. And when you get out there and you're just waiting for Kyle to come buy you a drink and he doesn't, it really hits your ego. So me and my friends were in Chicago. We are going out. We are dressed to the nines. We've got our new jumpsuits on, got our hair done, got our makeup done, and we are ready to go out on the town. And we had our little girly chats because there's like two types of going outs for women. You either go out and you spread the gossip with your girlies over like a Cosmo, talk about what's going on in your love life, and then there are nights where you go out for some flirty debauchery.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out for some flirty debauchery. We're sitting there. We've got our high noons. We're looking around. We're scoping out the scene. We've spotted a group of young gentlemen in the corner. We found our prey.
This really is like a scene out of National Geographic, and all these animals are around a lake, and you're wondering who's going to attack first.
Well, normally, we attack because we go, and girls, we go out, we want the attention, so we'll kind of, if we have to make the first move, we will. But we were in a special mood because we were in Chicago, we were in a new city, there was new energy, and we thought for the first time, we want to get approached. We don't want to do the legwork for them, we want them to approach us.
Okay.
But we're going to make it easy. We're going to drop the handkerchief, if you will, which basically what drop the handkerchief means, it's like an old-timey saying, like everybody thinks being old-fashioned is like letting a guy come to you. It's really like making sure they know they can come to you. Mm-hmm. So like back in the day, women would drop a handkerchief and the men would pick up the handkerchief and be like, oh my God, you dropped this. And he'd be like, hee, hee, hee. So we're going to drop the handkerchief, if you will. So we're sitting at this bar. We have pinpointed our targets. We're making the eye contact. We're batting the eyelashes. We're doing that thing where you look at them, you smile, and then you look back. We are like putting up green flags saying, come and approach us.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single man approaches us for 2 hours, which we're sitting there and we're like, we're having a good time. We're not just like solely out there like trying to get the men to come to us. But we're making it pretty evident that like we're open for business. And after about 2 hours of wanting to talk to another guy group, because you know, it's been a long weekend. It's just been the girlies. We need some male energy to shake it up. We're like, why is no one coming up to us? Like, what are we doing wrong? So my bone to pick with men is this like, is this just a specific bar that I've gone to where men don't feel like they can approach women because they feel like they're going to get rejected? Or were all of our tactics wrong? Was the prolonged eye contact not the right thing to do? Were the smiles, the getting in close proximity? Like, what were we doing wrong?
Mo, you're out there.
Well, for me, today I would probably be a little more equipped to know when a woman is giving me the signals of come talk to me. But when I was in my 20s, I had no idea. Because of the times where I thought a woman might have like looked at me and smiled and was giving me like the it's okay to approach. And then I approached and she wanted me out of her face. So I think when that happens to guys, you almost, for some guys, you got to make it. Like, you pretty much got to put a sign up that says approach me before I think a lot of guys would.
I mean, I know it's been a minute since I've been in my 20s, but when we were in our 20s and right out of college, guys had stupid confidence because they were like, I mean,
delusional confidence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think socially things have changed.
Have they?
Yeah. As we kind of get to know, you're online now and face-to-face interaction is almost secondary now.
Yeah.
But I would say this also. I'll add to what Mo is saying. Look, the bar and club scene is not where I flourished, okay? Women aren't walking into a bar looking for a guy that's 5'4" or whatever, right? So that's not where I flourished, right? I flourished during conversation, and that's a pretty superficial place. And the approach for any guy to a group of women is so intimidating unless your dudes go with you. Like, one guy walking up to a group of women is really an intimidating scene.
That's valid, because most of the time, if I ended up in a conversation with a woman that I didn't know, it was because the two groups were already interacting. And then, so now it's just kind of like we almost don't have a choice. But I typically I wouldn't just approach a group of women at a bar in public anywhere because I just don't think that women actually want that.
Yeah, because, I mean, there is a high rejection factor here because if guy goes to group of women, right, and there's one woman in the group that's offended that he didn't come to her, and then he starts she starts insulting him in front of the group, dude is walking away shameful and embarrassed and awkward. So it just takes one girl in that group to mess it all up.
But in what world is that fair that now all of a sudden all the responsibility is on the women to make the move?
It's not.
No, it's definitely not.
If they're not approaching us, then nobody's approaching anybody.
It's like that middle school dance where guys are on one side, girls are on the other, and nobody talks to anybody.
Yes, that's what it's become.
That's how it felt. And we were smart. We were a group of three, so we were also looking for other groups of three because we're like, then everybody has a person. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think they're the hottest person in the bar, we were just looking for another guy group to hang out with. So that's where we were kind of bummed out. We're like, we could be having so much more fun than this if you would come talk to us.
I wonder if there is something to, like, you know, guys and women now, when it comes to dating, are so used to doing everything online that the face-to-face now is way more awkward than it used to be because that's all we had before.
Okay, so what we need is, like, at those Brazilian steakhouses, you know how they have red where you don't bring the meat, green, you bring the meat. So we're not going to go like that, but we're going to have a sign that says approach, don't approach. And so if the sign says approach, then men, the door's open, approach.
So bring the meat.
Bring the meat.
And use the exact same coaster. If it's green, yeah. Boys, bring the meat.
The Bert Show.
All right, Mandy wants our help here because she's got some weird things going on in her house. And she's wondering if these weird things were going on in her house before she bought the home. And we're talking about a haunted house. Hey, Mandy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. What can we do for you?
Yeah, so I think that my house is haunted, but my husband doesn't believe me. And so I just was hoping that, you know, you could contact the previous owners and ask them if they've ever experienced anything out of the norm, I guess you could say, because they didn't disclose it when we bought the house. I was hoping to do it discreetly this way.
Okay, all BS aside, we've already contacted them. Tommy's already contacted them, so we'll have some answers for you this morning. But tell us about some of the stuff that's going on in the house.
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything that you would see in, like, a horror film. It's nothing too scary. It's just, like, doors will creak when no one has gone through them. The doors will open and shut when no one is around. My dog just will, like, stare at nothing that's there, but it looks like the dog is staring at something. And I just, when I'm in a room, I just feel like someone is there, but no one is. So mm-hmm. Things like that.
So anybody that has ever felt like, I don't even know what you want to call it, a spirit in a room. We did this years and years ago. Right down the street here, there was a hotel that was notoriously haunted. So everybody on the show decided to spend the night there for Halloween, mm-hmm. Right?
My first year here.
That was your first year here?
Oh, that's a nice welcome gift.
Did you make it through the whole night?
Hell no.
Nobody did. And the room that I was staying in, it was a really strange experience because I couldn't see anything, but you know how, like, when you're, I don't know, you could be at a restaurant or whatever and you don't see somebody behind you, but you can feel their energy.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's exactly how this room was. So there was nothing that I could see in the room, but I could absolutely feel, like, something, people, spirits, whatever around me.
Ooh. It was Beverly Hills Inn.
Yep.
And I think, didn't it used to be like a former nunnery or something like that?
I'm not sure. My friend Mitt used to own it. And I'm not sure if it's still there anymore, but it was absolutely haunted. And all of us that stayed there didn't make it through the night.
None of us.
Did y'all have significant others with y'all or y'all did it alone?
No, we had to do it alone.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Man, and I medicated myself to go to sleep and nothing would work, man. Nothing would work.
No, sir.
So you got doors opening and closing. You got a dog that's just staring at things that you can't even see there. What else?
Creaking, random creaking of the floors and doors.
Well, is it an older house? Because that's, I mean, houses settle.
It is an older house. It's a like over 100 years old, Victorian. Oh. So it's really beautiful.
Oh. It's definitely haunted.
Yeah.
If there was like one thing that you feel like stands out more than the others that made you feel like, okay, that right there is enough, what would it be?
For me, it's the same thing, like being in a room I think I'm alone in, but feeling like a presence there.
Yeah,
that's what creeps me out the most.
It's a weird feeling. You know when you feel it. Mm. You'd have to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the law, depending on what state you're in, the law is that they don't have to volunteer that information, but if they are asked, then I think they have to tell you.
Oh.
Do they?
I think so, yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to put that up in the ad anyway. All right, so give us a couple of minutes here, Mandy. And when we come back, Tommy has already reached out to the former owners, and he's got some answers for you, okay?
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Yes, Kristen.
All right, so you want some more details about the Beverly Hills Inn where we stayed?
Sure.
Is it still open?
So, no, it's an apartment complex now.
Oh.
Mm. Wait.
Yeah.
Wow. And Mo lives there. Based on some of the stuff you were telling, it's an apartment complex.
It's an apartment complex now, and it says the Beverly Hills Inn is crawling with infuriated, widowed spirits, unable to meet their husbands in the afterlife.
Ooh. What?
Wow!
I do remember something about that. Wait.
The host of popular Atlanta radio show, The Burt Show, even attempted to stay an entire night at the inn, but failed due to the unwanted presence each of them experienced.
No way.
Burt really? Even reported feeling someone staring at him as he tried to sleep.
Shut up.
Yes.
I feel like we're in like a haunted movie right now.
Does it say that in the article?
No, but thanks to Georgia State Signal for the shout out. Who knew?
That was a real place, man.
That's crazy. But
again, if you're renting there, I think they should be able to tell you, like, just want to let you know we've had some activity in this house. It used to be a hotel, and now it's an apartment complex, and you got some freaky things going on in here.
It should be $30 a month for rent to live in that place.
All right, Mandy, we'll give you the results here in just a couple of minutes, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
The Burt Show.
The applications for Burt's Big Adventure 2024 are already open. You have plenty of time to stall and procrastinate before the deadline.
There's a little bit of paperwork to fill out here, but it's totally worth it for your chance to go on a VIP all-expenses-paid trip to Disney World. So yes, applications are open. So if you are a family with a child who has a chronic or terminal illness, you've never been to Disney World, we're looking for you. If you are a neighbor that knows a family that you think should go, if you're a church member and you know somebody in your church that you think should go, if you're a medical professional, we get a lot of nominations from doctors and nurses and other medical professionals. If you know a family that could greatly benefit from this all expenses paid VIP trip for their entire family, you need to go to burtsbigadventure.org and fill out that application.
All right. Once again, the website, Kristen?
burtsbigadventure.org.
All right, so don't think I'm taking a political side here, but I thought this story was really interesting on WSB TV the other day, and I'm hoping it doesn't matter if you're far to the left or you're far to the right when it comes to gun control, that we all have one goal, and that's to bring violence down in this country when it comes to guns, correct? On both sides?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think any parent, it doesn't matter if you're blue, red, whatever. You want to be sure that your kids are safe when they go to school. We all have that in common. So I thought this was really interesting that there was a gun shop in Duluth, and the store owner decided, you know what, enough is enough. He was doing fine business-wise, but his conscience was getting to him, like there are too many kids getting killed, and he closed his store. This is from WSB TV.
A gun shop owner says kids who are killed by gun violence is why he's closed his doors for good.
The gun store owner says he's not pro-gun control, he's pro-gun safety and pro-gun training. One of the reasons he says he closed the doors of his store here is that it's too easy, he says, for criminals to illegally get a hold of guns that he might sell here totally legally.
The kids deserve better.
The doors at Georgia Ballistics are closed for good, just 2 years after owner John Waldman opened the gun store.
I still carry. I still have them.
I can't physically sell them with my conscience.
He says he closed the Duluth store on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard after concern about youth gun violence and school shootings.
Who's to say it wouldn't get stolen out of your car and then used on you or your family a month later?
The unusual move was highlighted during a gun control rally in front of the Gwinnett County Courthouse on Friday.
For someone to step out and take that step, because their consciousness is phenomenal, and that takes courage.
District Attorney Patsy Austin Gadsden says tackling gun violence is a community effort and a top priority for her office.
I will work hard to make those accountable that use guns in the wrong way, but at the same time, we can do some things that can prevent gun violence.
High school junior Tyler Lee brought Gwinnett County Democratic lawmakers together to call for more gun control in Georgia.
We can protect second graders and the Second Amendment at the same time.
None of the proposed gun control legislation made it through the Republican-led legislature this year, including a red flag law, three-day waiting period, and gun storage safety bill.
There is no harm in requiring people that have a gun to properly store it.
All right, so I just thought it was an interesting story, especially after a few weeks here ago when we had a shooting here in downtown Atlanta, and Kristen came in here all optimistic that changes were being made, and I came in here saying, I just need to see some baby steps because I'm broken in this area. And this to me was like a little baby step.
And ironically, yet again, I have a meeting today at 2:30 with the Georgia Moms for Change.
Really?
Yes, I do. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. I do. They are, I mean, it's all about like boots on the ground, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen.
All right, so the Burt Show Youth Group witnessed something very, very bizarre. Oh. Very bizarre over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. So we were out at a brewery just having a good time, couple brewskis, the youths were youthing, and we noticed so we were at this brewery where there was a party happening, and we were like, ooh, this is so fun. Maybe we can crash it. Which Atlanta brewery did you go to?
Can I be honest with you? I don't remember.
That means it was a good time.
It was a good time.
It was Monday night, Katie said.
Monday night brewing. Oh, yeah. Great brewery. So we're all hanging out, and we're at like this outside patio, and we're watching everybody walk into this party, and we start to notice there's a sign that says it's an engagement party, we're celebrating Lewis and Glenda, but we're noticing that it's only people like over the age of 60 walking in.
Lewis and Glenda.
Yeah.
So Glenda should have like probably tipped you off.
Well, yeah, we're like, oh, this must be like a boomer engagement party, right? And so I'm getting kind of curious because then all of a sudden we see Lewis and Glenda walk in. And Lewis and Glenda are like in their 20s.
No way.
I know. We're like, this wow. is so precious. So we're kind of like, okay, what's going on? Like, why are there no young people here? Like, should we go in and get the party started? We're like, no, we're not going to hijack their like sweet little engagement party. So then they dared me. They're like, Abby, why don't you go in and get the tea? Like, ask some bartenders, like, why is it like a retirement home engagement party, but with Lewis and Glenda here? So I go in. I start snacking at one of like the little snacky tables with chips and salsa. And of course, I'm feeling myself. We're at a brewery. We're having a good time. And I find like the one person under the age of 40 there that I'm like, hey, like what's going on here? Like, why is everybody here like so old? And they
how do you say that softly?
Right. You don't.
I was, you whispered it like that's going to make it come off better.
I was like, why is everybody here old? What is going on? And so they're like, well, Glenda actually really didn't want to have an engagement party. Like, Glenda's like very low key, and her mother, total opposite. Glenda's mom wants like to really celebrate her daughter, so she invited all of her friends, all of like her bunco buddies and the country club ladies, and basically made her fiance bring Glenda to this brewery for this big celebration.
Wait, she didn't know that this was going down?
No, I mean, because it's a surprise proposal, and then it's a surprise party after that apparently Glenda wasn't even like about, because and I was just sitting there feeling so bad for her. I'm like, I don't even know Glenda, but I want to go up and give her a little hug.
So it was a engagement party for the mother of the bride, for everyone to congratulate her on her daughter getting married.
Yes. I'm like, what a monster-in-law.
Is this fairly common?
No.
It's not?
No.
Where the wedding becomes more about the mom.
Oh, that's common.
Mom.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm talking about this engagement party, yeah. Like, I wouldn't say it's common. Does it happen? Obviously it does, but trash.
I would have walked out, even if this was my own engagement party. I'm like, this is not for me. This is for, my mom's name is Carrie. Carrie! My mom would never do this, but I'm feeling so bad for this couple who I don't even know. I'm just like on their side. I'm like, can I donate to their registry? Can I buy them a drink? They need several drinks, clearly. And so then I walked out and I was like, I finally got a little tea.
Look, but I was thinking, like, should we do something about this? Should we shut the place down?
You want to, like, get her out of there? Like,
I wanted to get her out. I wanted to get the getaway car. Okay. We wanted to, like, swing the Uber around and be like, Glenda, get in. We're going to go to a quiet bar where you don't have to be all around all these randos.
This makes me wonder if anybody's ever, like, going out their way to set up an engagement party and then the person said no. Then what happens?
Oh, damn.
So you have the proposal set, uh-huh. But then a surprise engagement party afterwards with family and friends.
Yeah, everybody's waiting for the yes, and then you just get to know.
It is a surprise party. That would be a surprise right
there.
That's
a fact.
Do you think that, without knowing anything about the story at all, that the parents are paying for the wedding, so they kind of feel like entitled, like, if we're paying for the wedding, then everything leading up to it, you got to do our way.
I was getting that vibe. We were kind of looking around the room, and we were like, we're getting country club socialite vibes here. Like, maybe this is a brewery. Maybe the mom thought that, like, this was some kind of meet in the middle. Like, maybe they met at the brewery. So she thought she was doing something special, but we are kind of like, these people would never be here if it wasn't for any kind of special occasion. It was like very bourgeoisie. They were like in their little Lily Pulitzer, Farm Rio outfits, like very like swanky, bougie suburb vibes. And I'm like, love Monday Night Brewing. Y'all look out of place. Man, y'all look hella out of place.
This is just a sign. I mean, imagine what the wedding day is going to look like on your special day.
Glenda, yes. Give me the invite. I'll throw down with your mom if you need me to.
It's a Bird Show.
The Bird Show.